Hello everyone, welcome to Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith. I'm Jay Nemerow, and we were talking a little bit about something that I'm going to start calling the Order of Aaron. And this is, I don't know if it's a more interesting, palatable version of the Aaronic Priesthood, or what it is in the LDS Church. Anyway, it's going to be a missionary tool. It's going to be a way to engage young men that maybe have not found engagement in other ways. I think in the past we've had scouting as the way, kind of the activity arm of young men, and that at least for me, it's becoming less and less relevant. Not that it's bad in any sort of way, but fewer and fewer boys are interested in it. And we need something that can be kind of engaging to young men these days. And so I've been pondering this for a long time. The medieval knight, because that really sings to me, you know? What's more about, I want to be a knight and then I will be a king. And you have to understand that this stuff has so many parallels in the gospel, in how Christ helped define it. He defined it more as kind of, well, it really depends on who you go to. In the Book of Mormon, to a large degree, it's a warrior ethic, you know? Scouts are really kind of paramilitary. And the problem is, I think the service aspects of scouting have always had to take a real back seat to the activity part of it. You know, we're going to go to camp, and we're going to go hike, and we're going to fish and stuff like that. And these things have almost been more distractions than actually being on target for what we want these young men to be. The Book of Mormon is very militaristic because of the way things were. There were so many wars being fought at the time of the Book of Mormon that kind of became the whole mindset, you know. We're going to be these military men. I read an interesting talk by, I'm not really sure who it's by, but it was regarding Captain Moroni, which is, I'm sorry, the ultimate military leader of the Book of Mormon. He's, in fact, so much so that a grand majority of the last prophet in the Book of Mormon, whose name is Moroni, I think was actually named for Captain Moroni, because of their great respect for him. And I read this talk about how Moroni was, how he was always willing to take peace over war. And any time during this war, when he would get the upper hand, he would wave the olive branch at people, which is really kind of odd in our present culture. Because our present culture would say, what, are you nuts? When you have the upper hand, you destroy your enemy. You don't start negotiating with them. But that's almost always what he did. He was always looking for just the ceasing of hostilities, even under circumstances where he knew they would break whatever promise they were making, whatever truce was being made. He knew that they would be broken. You know, if you just lay down your arms and walk away, we won't bother you. And I'm sure people thought he was nuts. because, you know, it's like, what are you saying? They said, we finally got the upper hand, now it's time to just kill them because of the scourge of our lives. And he was always, no, no, we're going to get what we can out of them. If there was a prisoner exchange to be made, he would make a prisoner exchange. But he always wanted to be on his terms, not anybody else. Because his terms were, I want our people to be back. I want us to be in a position to where we can have all of our prisoners. Because the Lamanites would take women and children prisoner, where the Nephites, which is the nation that Moroni was the military leader over. They wouldn't take, they were just defending their land. They never invaded Lamanite land. Never did it. And it was always in defense. So the people being taken prisoner by the Nephites, by Moroni's people, you know, they were always just men. And when he would do a prisoner exchange, he would say, well, we'll give you one prisoner for an entire family. And the Lamanites wanted one for one, because they wanted to be able to have all their fighting men and still be able to use the hostages, the prisoners, as bargaining chips. So he wasn't going to do that. He was going to be all or nothing. And when they didn't do it, they said, okay, we're going to pick up our arms and we're going to beat the snot out of you. And that's exactly what they would do, until the Lamanites would go, okay, well, if you'll just let us leave, we'll do that. And he was always giving them the opportunity. If they would throw down their arms and join Lamanites who weren't going to be fighting the Nephites anymore, he would let them. He wasn't going to be vindictive at all. He was just going to try to stop this war and get the release of the people that he loved. And that's interesting, because in more of the warrior ethic, we would never do that. You know, in the common warrior ethic of these days, we would never do that. And that's why, it's not that I'm against scouting. I don't think scouting's a bad thing. I don't think it interests these young men the way it used to. I think the young men these days were wanting more, and they just see scouting as playing around and being obedient and doing what you're told to do. And it lacks what I would consider to be a higher purpose besides what would be considered a militaristic purpose. Not to speak poorly of it. It's a wonderful, wonderful idea, wonderful program, but it just doesn't sing to the hearts of boys like it used to. Now, I want to have something different. And I'm looking at more knightly thing, more of the medieval thing, more of having a higher purpose. And of being amongst those who also share that higher purpose. And is it a religious order? I'd have to say yes. You know, I'd have to say that part of doing this is being a... having the Aaronic priesthood and rising in the Melchizedek priesthood, and how this can make you into this. One of the other problems with scouting is its usefulness for a boy above the age of 13 really starts waning. Because they start getting into other things, you know. They don't have time for this. They don't have time for that. And I think this is something that can follow a boy all the way up through his 18th year and onward. You know, you might say, well, then it becomes Melchizedek priesthood, and that's what all this stuff prepares for. And at that point, you know, you have to understand that it isn't so much that there's levels, there's a hierarchy, because there really isn't in the Melchizedek priesthood. You know, there are certain callings that you have that necessitate being the member of a quorum and other offices of the priesthood, but by and large, there is no more authority, you know, in the Aaronic priesthood, there definitely is. There's definitely things that a teacher can do that a deacon can't do. There are definitely things that a priest can do that a a teacher can't do. But when it comes to being an elder, you've got everything. There's not anything that an elder can't do. Progression to the celestial kingdom, everything that needs to be done around there can be done by an elder. Now, there are certain callings in the priesthood that ask for, I won't call them higher responsibilities in the priesthood, because there aren't any higher ones than those possessed by an elder in the Melchizedek priesthood. But there is most certainly other things like that. So you tend to graduate out of the Aaronic priesthood. Not graduate out, but you take upon yourself the Melchizedek priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood is preparatory. And so, you know, you want these guys to be knightly when they go into the Melchizedek priesthood. The world of knights. These other guys are knights in training, and we need to look at it that way. And that these things are a preparation to take upon themselves responsibilities of the Melchizedek priesthood. And that's all. So, anyway. I'm looking at kind of as that way. I don't know if this will be a replacement for scouting. Maybe. But, certainly, providing opportunities for young men to really reach out and grab these guys. So many things about, you know, the salvation code is kind of interesting and neat. It pulls people in. I want this order of Aaron, this kind of pre-knightly order, to also do the same thing. To kind of pull in these kids who say, you know, well, I have no interest in scouting. And the church struggles, I think, with other things. I like the Duty to God Award. I want to make sure that's the hallmark of this. I want to make sure that that's totally integrated into this thing. I don't want to be competition to anything. I just want people to know that this thing is going to help young men gain more of an interest in being godly. That there's something else to this. Um, And then we can do this in a forum that young men already like, that young men already are attached to, that they like. And, that's really what I want this thing to do. I really want it to be that kind of a, thing. So we're going to do it with a BBS, which is a half BBS, half website. That gives people the opportunity to, be able to replicate this, but also to have kind of a master place where you can go and you can be a part of these things. And it can build a good community, you know. It doesn't have to be this is the only thing you can do, but this is certainly out there. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just locked into, well, this is, you know, is church approved and not church approved. I'd love for it to be church approved at some point. Anyway. So we're going to have this BBS. We're going to have a web-based, it's more of a simulation, I think. I kind of think of it like The Sims, God's Plan of Happiness, kind of a thing. Even though I think the web-based version isn't going to be, strictly speaking, graphical. At some point, we might be able to get up enough interest to take it in that direction. But we're gonna have to get there. First, we're gonna have to I'm trying to eat here too. You're going to have to do it on a different scale. Let's try and help these. These young men. Touch the spirit of it. Well, I want them to be involved. I think this could be an interesting, interesting missionary tool. Because I think this could really appeal to a lot of young men who are looking for purpose in life, what God wants men to be doing. Christianity struggles with this, especially mainline Christianity. The simple reason that they they focus so much on man's evil nature. I was looking at a website where it was talked about why the Mormon Church couldn't possibly be true, you know. And it was coming at it from this kind of thing that Mormons have this whole weird thing that men aren't evil by nature. And it gave scriptures. even though one could give just as many scriptures that say man has to strive to be good. Even though a lot of Christians say, no, it's impossible for you to be good. So you give your life over to Jesus Christ, and he will make up for your sinful nature. Not that you have to change particularly, but just that you're forgiven of your sinful nature. And you go, well, what's the point of that? I think it doesn't inspire. It doesn't inspire you, because it says you don't have to be any better than you are. You can stay right where you are. You can even sin if you want to. Christ was punished for what you've already done. God forgives you already. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't really enthuse anybody to do better. It really doesn't. I hope this will. And seeing that this thing really is a reality. Well, the church has used the in the past. And it still does. Scouting is a way to try and keep young men involved during those difficult teenage years. This can do the same thing. I'm just going to do a better job at it. Turns out, sitting here eating, this is a quasi-endopathic bulldozer. Oh, I can't even say it. Have a great day.